Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
A question a day helps keep us on the way. That's what we are talking about to begin this new year. A question a day helps keep us on the way. These questions are inspired by John Wesley, who lived in the 18th century. He and his brother Charles started the Methodist movement. And one of the reasons why, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why the Methodist movement grew in such a powerful way was because about 300 years ago, as John was preaching, and he had a fire for God, he just wanted people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But as people were coming to be saved and coming to know the Lord, they needed some help and direction, as we all do. You know, when we are saved from a life of sin, God sets us on a whole new path. And so John realized quickly that he needed a way to disciple these new converts who were coming to the Lord. And so he established these small groups. They called them holy clubs, where new believers or seekers would gather and do Bible studies and pray for each other. But John, in his wisdom, also devised 22 questions that members in these groups would ask of themselves and ask of each other to hold each other accountable, to encourage each other to stay on the path, on the way that Christ had for them. 22 questions. And so what we are doing here as a church, 300 years later, we have taken those 22 questions and expanded them to 30 and revised some of the language and the nuances behind the questions to address, you know, realities today in the 21st century, so that we too can ask these questions of ourselves and of each other to help keep us on the path that we need to be going. And the title for the message today is, it's all about building character, not being a character. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a character, and I'm not looking at anyone in particular about being a character. But you know, the Bible tells us that we are to develop a certain type of character, and that character is to reflect the character and the nature of Christ. And so we need help in that direction. We all need guidance in developing the kind of character we need to reflect the nature of Christ. And I love this quote by John Wesley. We are always open to instruction, willing to be wiser every day than we were before, and to change whatever we can change for the better. Lord, help us not to be so stuck in our ways and so rigid in our thinking and in our understanding that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to come inside and change us and develop us and enable us to carry and display the character and the nature of Christ. Character matters. If you get anything from this message today, it's those two words. Character matters. Let me put it this way. David will beat Goliath every single time. Why? Because a young David had character. He had trust in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He lived for the Lord. He had character, and he could go up against Goliath, who was a character, this vile giant who defied God and mocked the people of God. But character will always defeat a character. Now, later on in David's life, the tables were turned. David had wealth and power and position, and he lost his character, and he sinned, and he sinned gravely, and that was to his demise. Character matters. That's why these questions are important, to help us develop the kind of character that pleases God rather than us being a whole bunch of characters just running around being silly. Here's why character matters. If I made an announcement to all the churches in Lane County, and I said, an open invitation to all the believers in Lane County, we're going to have a special speaker at our church on January 11th by the name of Philip Yancey. I guarantee you this sanctuary would be packed out with people because, oh, Philip Yancey, he's a great Christian writer and he's written so many good books and this and that. This place would be packed out. But given the revelation of what we found out this last week, he would not be here because character matters. There's not one of us in this room who's going to throw a stone at Philip Yancey. None of us here are without sin. So I'm not throwing stones. That's not our place. But character still matters. And the church today doesn't need any more characters. We don't need any more high-profile people with influence. We don't need people with titles or authority. Or we don't need big-name personalities. You know what the church today desperately needs? Ordinary, normal people who are developing character. By the way, this Philip Yancey thing happened several years ago, about 10, 15 years ago. There's a group in Lane County called One Hope that tries to get all the pastors together. And we were supposed to get together years ago and meet with a guy named Ted Haggard. Oh, and there was so much excitement. Ted Haggard is going to come speak to pastors in Lane County. And lo and behold, the next week he was supposed to come, he had to bow out. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can Google Philip Yancey and Ted Haggard. The church doesn't need any more high-profile names. We don't need people who have special spiritual insight. What we desperately need are people with character. Character matters. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, and I've said it myself, I am so glad to see 2025 in the rearview mirror. I am so happy to see 2025 go by the wayside. 2025 was a rough year. 2025 was a difficult year, and I am so glad that we are in this new year. And maybe you feel that way. I feel that way. It was a difficult year. But before we say goodbye to 2025, maybe you're already there. Maybe you said, bye, 2025. But before we officially say goodbye to 2025, I think what we need to do is take just a little bit longer, not too much longer, but just a little bit longer to reflect on the hardships that we endured in 2025. Because if we don't learn from the hard lessons of last year, how are we going to grow and develop and be the people of God that God wants us to be if we don't learn the hard lessons from last year? So just do a quick inventory of the difficulties of this last year. Maybe through no fault of your own, maybe just circumstances, just life, maybe some bad decisions you made. Let's just do a quick inventory of the difficulties of last year and then ask ourselves, before we officially say goodbye to 2025, Lord, of all the stuff that I went through this last year, what do you want to teach me? What do I need to learn? How do I need to grow? How do I make sure I don't repeat the same mistakes? I've been doing that these first 10, 11 days of the new year, and I intentionally didn't even change the calendar in the church office until yesterday. You know, we have these big old calendars, and this is just the first half, 2025 church calendar. And I intentionally didn't take it down until just yesterday because I wanted to reflect on 2025. But yesterday I said, you know, it's about time. I've reflected long enough. Let's put up the new calendar. By the way, when I approached this calendar to take it down, do you know why it got so nervous? Because it knew its days were numbered. Before we get into our passage in Romans chapter 5, let's officially say goodbye to 2025 and the lessons we're going to learn. We're going to say adios, right? Goodbye, so long, farewell, take care, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, sayonara, avirdadirchi. How do I say avirdadirchi? Avirdadirchi. All right. We are officially saying goodbye to 2025, but we're going to ask God, Lord, help me to learn the lessons that I needed to learn from last year so that I can develop the character I need in the new year and in the years to come. And this is kind of what the Apostle Paul is hinting at here in Romans chapter 5. Turn to Romans chapter 5. One of the things Paul wisely instructs believers is that let's not dismiss the hardships and the sufferings that happen in our lives too quickly. Let's learn from them. Let's grow from them. Let's understand how I can develop character and grow in Christ, even from the hardships and the sufferings that I've had to endure in the past. And so this is what he's getting at here. Romans chapter 5, and I'll read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering or hardships produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character gives us hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. But I love what Paul says here. He says, let's not just dismiss the sufferings and the hardships. Let's allow God's Spirit to take that and transform us and give us the character that we need, which gives us the hope that we have in Christ. Let us pray. Father, yes, this last year has been difficult on so many levels. But as we reflect on 2025 and the things that we've been through, teach us, Lord, through the sufferings and the hardships and the difficulties and the uncertainties and all the stuff that we dealt with in the old year, Lord, use that to build within us a perseverance, which will develop in us a character that we so desperately need, that the church needs, so that we can live with and profess this incredible hope that we have in Jesus our Lord. So we thank you for your faithfulness in the past. Use that past to develop us in the present and to enable us to continue pressing on in the future. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We are going through these 30 questions, and I'm walking you through them day by day, a question a day. And so we started January 1 with the first question, and we've gone through questions 1 through 10. Today is the 11th of January, and so let's look at the question for today, question 11. And I want to reiterate and remind you that these questions are not meant to be easy. They are meant to be thought-provoking. I mean, in order to produce character in people of substance and quality, we have to ask ourselves and ask each other the hard questions, the questions that come from the Bible, the questions that will develop us. And this is not an easy question, but it's something we absolutely must reflect upon. Can I be trusted with money, information, responsibilities, and relationships, family, friendships, co-workers, neighbors? Or do I lack integrity? I want you to think with me just for a little bit. Is there any institution that you can think of in the last 5 years until today that you have more trust and faith in today than you did 5 years ago? So think 5 years ago, 2021, we were in COVID, and oh, what fun that was. But think back these last 5 years. This is a legitimate question. Across the spectrum, can you think of one institution, one governing body, that you have more trust in today than you did 5 years ago? I can't think of one institution as a whole that I have more faith in today than I did 5 years ago. Here's my point. If we allow the Holy Spirit to develop the kind of integrity and character that God intends to develop within us, church, we have an opportunity to shine brighter than ever in a very dark and shady world. If we, as God's people, develop a type of airtight integrity about our character, where we can be trusted and vulnerable and open and not sweep things under the rug, but be people of absolute character, the church has the potential to rise above any other institution, and people can look at the church and say, I think I can trust those people. I think I can trust the church. That's why this question is so important. Can I be trusted with everything that I've been entrusted with? Money, information, responsibilities, relationships, or do I lack integrity? And this question reminds us for the church to not be like any other institution, but may we always be filled with integrity. Look at Proverbs 10:9. This is just one of the verses to meditate on as we look at this question. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Church, let's have the character of integrity. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It does mean we own up to when we're not perfect, and we seek to strive to be people of integrity. Next question for day 12. When did I last speak to someone of my faith in Christ with clarity, love, and humility? This is a question we need to ask ourselves and ask of each other. And I don't need to remind you, we have the greatest message in the world. The Jesus message changed the world 2,000 years ago. And it has been changing the world ever since. And there's a lot of people out there spewing a lot of different messages. And somehow, yet, we feel like we have to be muzzled when it comes to our faith and our hope in Christ. I think we need to be reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And this is not just for preachers. This is for everyone who's been touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, writing in the middle of the Roman Empire, says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then to the Gentile. It's an all-inclusive gospel. Everyone can find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the power of God. Now, when we think of God's power, we think of might and thunder and lightning. The power of God comes in the gospel, the good news, and we can share in that gospel. When did I last speak to someone of my faith in Christ with clarity, love, and humility? Question number 13 for us to ponder this week. Do I think of others better than I think of myself? Or do I look down on anyone? We live in a day and age where it is easy to vilify other people. And it's happening to an extent that perhaps we've never even seen before, at least in our country. If there's a reason to put someone down or to vilify them or to disregard them, so be it. That's what our culture tells us to do. If you're not like me, if you don't think like me, if you don't act like me, I'm going to vilify you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to a very different standard. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us to look at others even better than we think of ourselves. Talk about countercultural. And church as a whole, if we can do this, I think once again the church can regain some credibility in society. As the world looks at us and says, they don't put each other down. They don't shoot their wounded. And again, going back to the Philip Yancey issue, it's not our place to judge, and we certainly want to see he and his wife restored. He's no better or worse than any of us. We are all in this same boat together. We're not going to vilify or put down anyone because we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Let's look at the Romans 12:3 verse. Romans 12:3. And you have to remember, he's speaking to Jews who thought they were better than Gentiles, and he's speaking to Gentiles who thought they were better than the Jews. You know, talk about a very divided culture back then, but we can apply this principle to where we're living today. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Our next question for this week, on the 14th of the month, is this. Am I cultivating emotional honesty before God and trusted believers? Or do I hide behind busyness, humor, cynicism, and sarcasm? We tend to mask who we really are with a whole host of things. But I think as we're developing the Christ-like character, the kind of character that Christ would have us to embody, we need to be emotionally honest and vulnerable before God and trusted believers. Easier said than done. I get it. It requires trust and vulnerability. But we can't move on in our relationship with Christ, and we can't develop the kind of character that we are called to develop unless we are emotionally honest with ourselves and with others. Now let's look at the Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And I'll go on into verse 10, and it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. Very important question, question number 14. Let's look at question number 15 for this week as we reflect. Do I use my time and technology in ways that help me love God and neighbor, or do they fragment my attention and dull my soul? And that phrase gets me every time. Do these things dull my soul? Am I becoming so desensitized to the things that matter the most that I truly am not able to love God as I ought and love my neighbor? This is a very important question. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you're a regular part of our church, you know exactly where these verses are going. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6, the Hebrew Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Let's not allow anything to dull our soul, our conscience. Help us to stay alert and aware of that which matters the most. Question number 16 that we are going to reflect on today and this week. Do I regularly invite other believers to speak truth into my life, asking hard questions and welcoming their counsel? How are we going to grow unless we get input from one another? How am I going to see my weak spots, my blind spots, if I don't allow you to speak into my life or you don't allow me to speak into your life? We need each other to develop Christ-like character. Proverbs 27:17 gives us a very vivid imagery of this. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need to sharpen each other. And we do that by speaking truth into one another. We need each other. And finally, to end out this week on these questions that we are going to reflect on, do I depend more on my gifts and productivity or the gift of the Holy Spirit in me as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit? This is a question we added to one of John Wesley's 22 questions. Nowhere did John Wesley talk about the fruit of the Spirit, at least in these questions. He does in other writings. But we felt this was important for us to meditate on as we reflect on developing character. Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to develop in me the kind of character that He wants to? And turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And here's a good listing of the fruit of the Spirit that we should consciously be aware of, that this is the type of fruit that Doug talked about earlier when he read scripture to us from the Gospel of John. This is the kind of fruit that Jesus wants to display in our lives as we develop character. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.